Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SJS Enterprises Q3 FY 2023 results call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rakesh Jain from Axis Capital. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. Good morning and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Q3 FY 2023 post-result conference call of SJS Enterprises. Today from the management team, we have with us Mr. K.A. Joseph, Managing Director, Mr. Sanjay Thapar, the CEO and Executive Director, and Mr. Mahendra Naredi, the CFO. Along with that, we have Ms. Devanshi Dhruva, the Head of IR. Now I'll request Devanshi to take over and proceed with the conference call. Devanshi.
Yeah. Thank you, Rakesh. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for being with us over the call today. We appreciate it. Moving on, this is how we intend to take today's conference call forward. I will pass on the dais to Mr. K.A. Joseph, our MD, who will make the opening remarks and then hand it over to Mr. Sanjay Thapar, our CEO and Executive Director, who will take you through some of the slides of our presentation that has been uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as on our website. Sanjay will take you all through the industry view, our business performance, and then along with Mr. Joseph, give the strategic outlook for the future growth of the company at the end. Mr. Mahendra Naredi, our CFO, will update you on our financial highlights, post which we will open it up for Q&A. The duration of this call is around 60 minutes, and we will try to wrap up our comments in about 20 minutes. We leave enough time for you guys to ask questions. If the time is not enough, please feel free to reach out to us through email or to write us, and I will try to answer all your questions to the best of my ability. Thank you once again, and I will now hand it over to Mr. Joseph to make his opening comment. Over to you, Joe.
Yeah. Thank you, Devanshi. Hello, good morning, everyone. I trust you all had a chance to take a look at our investor presentation and the results published yesterday, which we will use as a reference as we speak to you all today. If you can move on to slide four. As you all know, SJS is an established market leader in a very attractive and niche business segment. We operate in a high value-added decorative aesthetic market across multiple consumer-oriented industry. We are a partner, co-creator, and supplier of choice to several leading OEMs in the automotive and consumer durables industry. With a dominant share of business in India and a focused strategy to increase our global presence. Our company continues to deliver strong operating and financial performance despite uncertainty in the global markets due to the geopolitical and macroeconomic headwinds. We are able to outperform the industry year after year due to our well-entrenched customer relationships, strong in-house design and engineering capabilities. Leading-edge technologies offering a wide mix of products and our lean operations designed to support multi-fold revenue. Our robust performance is demonstrated by our financial numbers, which Sanjay and Mahendra will take you through shortly. I would like to hand over to Sanjay to take you through some of the business and industry highlights. Thank you. Over to you, Sanjay.
Thanks, Joe, and good morning, everyone. SJS, as you know, is a fast-growing design and aesthetic solution provider. Our business model and diversification strategy is unique, and this has enabled us to consistently outperform the underlying industry growth quarter after quarter, and this quarter has been no different. Yet again, we outperformed the automotive industry. Premiumization theme continues to accelerate very rapidly, and we remain confident of our ability to benefit from this mega trend that we see to grow our business over the medium and the long term. Specifically for this quarter, we delivered a strong performance in our automotive business, that is two-wheelers and passenger vehicles combined. SJS grew by 25% year-on-year, whereas the industry, the two-wheeler, four-wheeler production growth was only 4%. Our total revenue for Q3 stood at about 106 crores, growing by 21% YoY. The passenger vehicle business grew for, by 43% for us, and the two-wheeler business grew by about 14%. SGS generates strong cash flows, and we have a healthy cash and bank balance of 143 crores on our books as of 31st of December. This cash, of course, will be used for the company's growth and expansion plans. I'm also delighted to share that this quarter we added new marquee customers to our portfolio of customers like Foxconn and IFB to our already very large client base, and we hope to build a healthy, long-lasting relationship with them. On the CSR front, the company's initiatives on garbage collection under the Clean Village Initiative campaign improved lives of close to 3,000 families across 12 villages, and we also added 20 beds to a local community center hospital here, where 50 patients every day benefit from this. On the next slide, you see a graph where you have the performance of the industry and how SGS performed. So for quarter ending December 22, the two-wheeler industry volumes were flat at about just about 0.5% growth over the last year, whereas SGS two-wheeler volumes values shot up by 14% for the same period. This superior growth in two-wheeler segment compared to the industry was on account of new business wins and market share gains as we increase our share of wallet with key customers. The PV industry volumes grew by 21% YOY, whereas SGS volume sales grew by 43% on a YOY basis. We have grown well within our set of PV customers. Our PV journey is still in early stages and we are winning new businesses that has helped us grow our Q3 FY22 revenues, and we hope to continue this momentum forward, especially with the introduction of new generation products that are under development at SGS. Overall, the automotive segment grew by about 4% YOY, whereas SGS revenue from the automotive segment grew 25%, surpassing the overall combined industry growth. Our consolidated sales grew by 21% YOY. This growth was despite slowdown in the consumer durables market that we and the impact on exports due to this ongoing war in Europe and the other geopolitical challenges like rising in energy costs, high inflation in the developed nations, and a subdued demand both in Europe and North America. For the 9 months, SGS outperformed the market by growing at 54%, where the industry grew just by about 16%. And we have delivered a strong revenue growth of about 25% for the first 9 months. On a sequential basis, the combined industry volume from quarter two to quarter three declined by 17%, whereas SGS consolidated auto sales degrowth was limited to about 6%. Despite this impact on exports and consumer durables, I really appreciate the efforts of our team to consistently maintain the company's sales momentum in this last quarter, Q3. And our strategy for diversification by industry segments and products has helped us minimize this impact. Some key enablers of what helped us grow, let me summarize that for you. So growing mega accounts by consistently winning key businesses is an important area of focus for us. We continue to expand our share of wallet with key customers by offering new products, winning new businesses. This quarter we won many new businesses from our customers like Mahindra, Tata Motors, Toyota, Whirlpool, Electrolux, Royal Enfield and many more. We bagged our first order for optical plastics for a passenger vehicle manufacturer, and we are very positive on executing many such businesses in the future. This quarter we added leading customers like Foxconn in the two-wheeler electric vehicle space and IFB Industries in the consumer durable sector. We continue to enhance our global presence. We've added a sales representative in Colombia. So now, in addition to Brazil, Argentina, in Latin America, we also cover Colombia, and this ensures that we have a major presence in the Latin American market. On the next slide, we tell you about how customers reward our efforts. So Visteon in this quarter presented us with the Best Performance Award for extra mile support with respect to a flawless launch of Scorpio N. This underscores our very, very strong new product development capability. We also consistently participate in Kaizen contests. So the SGS team won a prize, the third prize at the Kaizen competition organized by ACMA in the southern region. We have laid down an ESG framework for a company. ESG essentially comprises of three dimensions: environment, social and governance, and our responsibilities towards fulfilling our duties in each dimension as a responsible corporate citizen. If anybody would like to understand further details on our ESG initiatives, please feel free to reach out to Devanshi, who is IR at SGS. At SGS, we believe in inclusive growth, not just for our employees and stakeholders, but also for the community around us. So last quarter, as mentioned, we adopted 7 villages under the Agra Panchayat jurisdiction, Bangalore, close to our factory. As a part of this Swachh Bharat Abhiyan, this initiative is helping improving health and hygiene conditions in these villages, leading to a better living environment for all the villagers and minimize risk of health hazards. Taking this initiative forward, we today cover 12 villages and 3,000 families benefit from our Clean Village initiative, where we organize garbage collection from doorstep. We also added 20 beds at the community health center, as I said earlier, 50 patients benefit from that. We also contributed towards infrastructure building for schools in our vicinity. I would now like to hand over to Mahendra, our CFO. He will update you on the SGS performance for the last quarter before you and I come back to you and talk about the future growth outlook. So over to you, Mahendra.
Thank you, Mr. Thakur. Good morning, everyone. Moving to slide 12, which talks about our financial performance in detail, I would like to highlight that the company maintained a strong pace of growth and delivered a robust quarter 3 FY23 financial performance despite various external challenges. I would like to bring to your notice that revenue and margin for quarter 3 FY22 have been adjusted for ₹37.6 million for provision for discounted on a customer sales created during FY21 that was reversed in December 21 and which resulted in increased sales, EBITDA, PBT and PAT. So to make a like-to-like comparison, we have excluded that amount and shown our financial for quarter 3 FY22 and 9 month FY22. Considering this, our consolidated revenue grew by 20.8% on YOY basis to ₹1,063.7 million. Strong revenue growth was on account of overall domestic sales, clocking 22.2% YOY growth on back of 56.4% YOY in PV and 16.7% in two-wheeler. EBITDA grew 25.3% on YOY basis to ₹284 million on a margin of 26.1%. PAT grew by 29.5% on YOY basis to ₹157.1 million, delivering a strong margin of 14.8%, thereby maintaining around 15% profit margin consistently quarter after quarter in FY23. On 9 month basis, we are consistently delivering a robust performance and inching closer to achieving our target quarter after quarter. The company clocked 24.6% YOY growth in revenue, boosted by 31.7% YOY growth in domestic sales. EBITDA grew 31.6% on YOY basis to ₹896 million with a margin of 26.9% and margin improvement of 170 pips. PAT grew by 40.6% on YOY basis to ₹518.7 million on a margin of 15.9% and margin expanded by 181 pips. I am happy to share that all our efforts and initiatives taken post Exotech acquisitions are adding growth and momentum to the consolidated revenue. Exotech achieved FY22 full year revenue in just 9 months of FY23. With EBITDA margin improvement to 14% from 12.8% in FY22, which is higher by 115 pips improvement in 9 months. Overall, SGS delivered a strong ROC of 33% based on 9 month FY23 performance compared to 27.1% in last year's same period. Talk about sales, both two-wheeler and passenger vehicle shares of revenue has improved to 47% and 31%, while consumer durable witnessed a decline in revenue shares to around 15% due to macroeconomic headwinds, rising inflation that led to subdued demand in Europe and North American markets. Other segments witnessed a little slowdown in revenue from farm equipment, hence the share of some of such marginal decline. Exports declined due to adverse impact of geopolitical issue and macroeconomic challenges in many regions. Decline in exports also impacted sale of new generation products to a certain extent, and hence overall contribution of new generation product to revenue is around 11-12% for 9 months FY23. However, we are confident that despite near-term challenges, our medium-term growth targets for consumer durables and strong focus on export segment remain intact. Moving to the next slide. This slide gives you financial highlight in a snapshot, which we have already discussed in previous slides. As on 31st December 22, SJS has built a comfortable consolidated cash and cash equivalent of around rupees 1,431 million. We are a debt-free company on a net debt basis. The company generates strong free cash flow, and for the 9 months, we have added rupees 478 million to our balances. Our free cash flow to EBITDA for 9 months stand at a healthy rate of 53.4%. As on 31st December 22, we have achieved robust ROC of 33% and ROE of 15%. I would now like to hand over to Mr. Joseph and Mr. Thapar to talk about our future plan and growth outlook.
Thank you, Mahendra. SJS, as you know, is a technology and innovation-driven company with a strong in-house design and engineering capabilities. The company has a track record of successful new product development and commercialization, supported by its dedicated product development and R&D teams. The company's strategy is to introduce premium futuristic products that are complex to manufacture and increase our addressable market significantly for automotive and consumer durable industries. For passenger vehicles, we are working on products that will increase our kit value from a current rupees 1,200 to 1,500 by almost 3 to 4 times. A few examples of these products are optical plastic / cover glass with touchscreen capability. Recent vehicle launches have demonstrated a huge demand by the end consumer for larger and integrated display screens inside the cars. These are very complex parts. At SJS, we have had an early start in this technology, and we are very hopeful of growing this to become a large part of our product portfolio in the coming years. Second number, in-mold decoration integrated with in-mold electronics for car interiors. The third, we have eliminated emblems and door protector branding and eliminated scuff plates are other examples of our new products under development. For the two-wheeler industry, we target to increase the kit value from a current rupees 300 to 500 by around 2 times. By adding futuristic products such as cover glass for two-wheeler instrument cluster with touch functionality and also in-molded electronic parts with integrated multiple functions in the molded decorative substrate, especially for EVs. For the consumer appliances, we target to increase the kit value from the current rupees 50 to 150 by around 3 to 4 times with addition of futuristic products such as optical glass with HMI functionality for control panels, printed electronics with capacitive touch function for consumer appliances again. The opportunity for growth is significant, and the company is confident of achieving this in the near future. With that, I would like to hand over to Sanjay to brief you all on our future outlook.
Thanks, Joe. So quickly moving to slide 21, which talks about our organic strategy for the medium term. So as you can see, SJS continues to deliver on its promise of strong operational and financial performance. Organically, for the first 9 months for FY23, we delivered a strong 25% year-on-year growth, maintaining best-in-class EBITDA margin of 27% and a PAT margin at 16%. We are confident of maintaining a high growth trajectory for our company over the medium term by winning new businesses, increasing wallet share from existing customers, adding new customers, increasing content by adding exciting new products to our portfolio. We expect SGS to continue to outperform the industry growth, recovery in the consumer durable sector and export markets, and tailwinds of a resurgent auto industry will add momentum to our growth trajectory. On the capacity expansion plan at Exotech to meet higher customer demand pipeline, we are well on track, as is our focus on new technology product development to meet the futuristic needs of our customers. I now come to the inorganic growth strategy for the company. So over the last 2 years, our company has demonstrated its ability to acquire and integrate and grow acquired businesses. So we acquired Exotech 2 years ago. So in the last 2 years, we've doubled revenue, demonstrating our ability to cross-sell products across new and existing customers very rapidly. Sales has grown from 68 crores in FY21 to about 102 crores in FY22. And for the first 9 months, we already achieved the full sales of FY22. So we are on track to achieve a great growth in that company this year as well. We've expanded EBITDA margins from 12.2% in FY21 to 14% over the last 2 years. And also we've successfully integrated operations of Exotech with SGS. So we have ability in our, great confidence to acquire and integrate new businesses. And we are currently actively evaluating a few other acquisition proposals that will add value to SGS. These acquisitions would require additional funds. Therefore, in a proactive manner, our board has passed an enabling resolution for a fundraise for an amount not exceeding 300 crores. This approval is valid for a year and will help us meet our fund requirement as and when we conclude a suitable acquisition. Any acquisition, I can assure you, will be done with a judicious mix of debt and equity, keeping in mind the interest of all stakeholders and the best for the future of the company. I now come to an outlook of FY23. So SGS will continue to outperform the industry in terms of growth. For the first 9 months of FY23, our revenues have grown by 25% despite a very challenging external environment, especially in exports due to the ongoing war in Europe and the subdued sentiment in North American and European markets. We continue to face headwinds for exports in the current quarter as well. So recovery, we are awaiting the recovery here. Considering this, we are moderating our FY23 guidance slightly from 25% revenue growth to about 20%, and our PAT growth estimates of from 30%, we would possibly reach 20-25% this year. SGS will continue to maintain best-in-class margins with a very robust cash flow. So despite revising the FY23 outlook downwards on account of these external factors, the company is still in very good shape. We are optimistic about achieving our mid-term guidance from FY23 to 25. We continue to maintain our target of revenue growth of 25% and a PAT growth of 30%. So with this, we finish the presentation. Then I would open this floor for answering any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dipen Shah. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. Firstly, just on related to the business, just wanted to understand, you are into various products as you have depicted in the PPT. If you can just give us some idea on what is the kind of USP which you have when you approach clients for these new products, and what is the competitive scenario in maybe the top 3 or 4 products which you have?
So thank you for your question, Dipen. So fundamentally, our competitive edge really is that we are a seamless design to manufacturing and delivery company. So in terms of the number of technologies that we have under one roof, we are quite unique, not only in India, but across the world. That is a great USP and differentiator. If I map competitors in India or overseas, either they are printing companies which don't do plastic molding, or they are plastic molding companies which don't do printing, or vice versa. There are other technologies like chrome plating assemblies that are required, some special finishing on badges required. So our competitors, because of their focus on a few product areas, are not able to identify or deliver such a vast array. So that's on the technology side. On the manufacturing side, we handle a very large number of SKUs, and we handle it very successfully, delivering across 22 countries worldwide, and customer lines have never stopped because of us. So we are very strong in terms of our delivery capability. So that also is a differentiator when you talk of competitors. And if I talk of export competitors in the other markets, our products are batch mode production, so these are labor intensive parts, and we have a very strong labor arbitrage. And so SGS is far more competitive, so that is why we are very excited about growth. And those, I think, are the key factors which differentiate us from competitors, both in India and overseas.
Also, apart from the new products that we introduce, one of the other things is that we can handle the amount of SKUs that we are able to handle, and the number of products that we have under one roof, you know, that we manufacture. We manufacture about 10, 11 products, and we are growing out there as well by introducing new products, as well as the number of SKUs we manufacture is about 6,000 SKUs and growing there as well. So that sheer complication that is involved in manufacturing these number of SKUs and delivering to all our OEMs on time quality products, that itself is one of a bigger challenge, which, you know, which acts as a barrier for our competitors.
And I'd like to add one more, sorry. A great strength we have is our new product development capability. You know, we have a very strong team. This team is focused only on futuristic products, so that is why we are able to launch these products. You know, one of our very old standing customers awarded us for that last mile support. We appreciate our quality levels to support global volumes. So I think all in all, we are quite a unique, uniquely positioned to support customers in the aesthetic decorative space.
So just to carry it a bit forward, like once when you go to a new client and pitch for a product, why would he shift from his existing supplier to you? That is the first question. And the second is that when you pitch to an existing customer that you need to gain market share and replace another supplier with your products, why would he do that? Because, you know, that obviously he is well entrenched with his existing supplier, and the cost arbitrage which you speak about is, it's probably not that much, because you contribute maybe 300 rupees per vehicle in a two-wheeler and maybe a 5,000 or 2,000 rupees in a four-wheeler. So why is cost arbitrage that important when he has to change the whole supplier for just a very small part?
So answering your question, so we have a very long-standing relationship with customers. It is not just a transactional thing that we support a part. We are co-developers of parts with them. So for customers, for new models, we have an insight onto what new model will happen maybe 1 year, 2 years before the customer launches the vehicle. So we do a lot of ideation workshops. We conduct what are called bling workshops, where we say we offer the customer multiple technology options. So it's not just a part or he wants a logo. We can offer him a logo in 5-7 different technologies. We can do very rapid prototyping and show them that this is what the effect is going to be. And that is the reason why customers like to come to us and not go to other people. So for example, if there is a chrome plating business, a company could start with thinking that I want a chrome plated badge, but when he sees 5 options from SGS, he finds that there is a larger variety and we have price parts at different price points. So depending on what his requirement is, and that is something that I think we are quite unique in that concept, because of this early engagement as I talked of. And the customers like to have robust suppliers, so they are all financially robust, well-run companies, and there is already consolidation that's happening. So customer would like to have fewer suppliers, buy larger parts, larger quantity of parts from these suppliers. So we gain from that trend as well. So we don't compete on price. We compete on our capability to differentiate products and add value to their customer's product.
Okay. And I just wanted some data, if you probably collate it. What part of the revenue comes from increasing market share? Like you replacing the existing supplier in an old model with your product, and how much comes from new products of the customers, the new launches of the customer?
To be honest, I don't have that breakup with me right now, but I can only say that our outperformance of the industry is primarily on increasing wallet share. So customers, I would not like to name specific customers and give you data around that, but new model launches by a very premium motorcycle manufacturer. So we virtually gained the wallet share across all, and our revenues have increased quite significantly. So again, as I said, this is confidential. I would not like to name customers, but a large extent it is because of premiumization and gain of wallet share. So these are the two significant drivers for growth when we outperform the industry.
Okay. And just coming to
sorry
the
to
numbers,
interrupt, sir. We sorry. Request you to kindly return to the question queue, as there are several participants waiting their turn.
Okay. Okay. I'll do that. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Harsh M. from Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congrats on good set of numbers. I actually had two questions. One is more on, you know, if you can explain what exact headwinds are we facing in consumer durables, and are we even facing headwinds for our automobile sector as well in case of exports, or is just the CD segment? That is my first question, and then I'll come to my second question.
Okay, so the headwinds are headline news across the world, so everybody reads the same papers. So the war in Ukraine continues, the sentiment is dampened because inflation is very high, energy costs are spiraling out of control. So sentiment both in Europe and North America, which are very large markets for us, are impacted. The question was that is it only consumer durables or also automotive? So also automotive. For example, we supply a lot of dials to customers across the world, and with lower production in Europe and North America, that demand has fallen. So overall sentiment is low, and we are going to get, we are hopeful that this should, demand should come back. But essentially, it is this rising interest rates and a scenario where customers are cutting back on discretionary expenditure in those advanced countries, which is impacting sales in the long term. But nonetheless, these continue to be very large consuming markets, and we are hopeful that return to growth will come in the near future. So we are just crossing our fingers and watching how it plays out.
Also, the thing is that if you'll actually see in our consumer durables or in our auto segment, in exports or in domestic as well, we've not lost any customers. It is just that because of the demand has been subdued, that's why the volumes in consumer durables have gone down. And that's why it has impacted us also.
Got it. No, the reason to ask this is because we've seen across few other auto ancillaries, the exports has not been impacted significantly for other players, at least in the automobile sector. So that is why I was a bit, wanted to get that color. But fair enough. And by when we can expect the volumes from the new customers, then the Foxconn and IFB, which have been added. So next financial year, can we expect some volumes from them, or they'll take time to get them into developing new products and then it will take time?
So most certainly. So Foxconn is a important win for us because they are one of the, they are famous for their integration of manufacturing of Apple cell phones. But they are a large global integrator of electronic parts, and when we look at integrated displays, which I talked of in my earlier conference call, that there is going to be a pressure for localizing these, so that we see is happening. And now, so we are, the product of Foxconn is already under development, and hopefully should see volumes in the next year.
Got it. Any number on in terms of revenue, if you can?
We request you to please return to the question queue.
Okay.
Yeah, strategically, we don't provide guidance on specific customers. So.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Ranade from Goldman Sachs Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. We request you to speak a little closer to the mic. The audio for you is very low.
Is this better?
It's not really, sir.
I'll just come back.
Okay. The next question is from the line of Jigar Jani from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Firstly, on the guidance front, so I think till start of Jan, we were anticipating or reiterating our guidance for FY23. So just wanted to understand the major reason for guidance cut in for this year. Was it a particular customer in the export market that we were anticipating and we did not get onboarded? And whether the guidance on PAT, which you are guiding about 20 to 25%, is basically on the rebased numbers that you have done for 9 month FY23-22, or is it on the full year PAT? That is the first question. And secondly, on the acquisition, so we have about 143 crores of cash, and we are planning to raise another at least at max 300 crores. So that's about 400 crores of kitty for the acquisition. So I just wanted to understand what the color of what kind of acquisition are we planning, whether it is in the domestic or the export market. Some more color on what kind of acquisition it is likely to be since you are in advanced stages, because it's a significantly large outlay on an acquisition, considering that you are also planning to take some debt for the acquisition. So any color on that would be great.
Yeah, so thank you for your question, Jigar. So first on the guidance of FY23. So for the first 9 months of this year, we have stayed steadfast in our guidance in terms of revenue growth. So we were at 25% for the first 9 months. This only in all honesty I'm sharing with you. So we were hoping that the export demand would come back. We have not lost any business in exports. We have not lost any customer in exports. So everything is on track. It's just this macroeconomic issues that exist in Europe and North America that is causing this subdued demand. So I am only being transparent when I say that we were hoping. So for the first half of this year, the domestic demand compensated for the export demand. So export markets have been suppressed all through the year since this war is going on. We see fresh challenges every day. But despite that, our revenue growth for the first 6 months was 26.5%. We still were at 25%. We were hoping that the export markets would kick in. The domestic market was a little soft post the festive sales, which is seasonal, that happens. So we are at this moment only being revising that a little slightly to a growth of about 20% and a EBITDA growth of about 20-25%. So that's what I said. So we remain extremely bullish on growth prospects, and that is the reason why we see huge traction by our customers. We are looking at expanding because we have a lot of customer requirements that we are wanting to fulfill, and we will outperform the industry. So the key point is that while we are not completely insulated, our strategy of premiumization, our strategy of winning wallet share, adding new products, all has helped us compensate and outperform the industry. So the industry numbers, as you saw, were flat, but we've still grown very, very strongly. So I am very happy with the performance my team has put in. And the second question that we have was the acquisition. So I can't disclose specific details, but to tell you, we need the funds that we have, 143 crores, as we've already guided earlier. We are looking at capacity expansion at Exotech, so some amount of money will go there. And the acquisitions that we are doing are all value-added, synergistic acquisitions, which would help us propel the company on a very high growth trajectory moving forward. So that is the reason for the enabling resolution that has been passed. It's not that we are spending the money now. We are very prudent, very cautious that we have the right target, as we've done successfully for Exotech, as I mentioned during my commentary.
So any timeline on when we can expect this, and whether just if you could share whether it would be in a domestic market or will it be an overseas acquisition?
I would not like to provide the details till the deal is done, so you can understand, but then we are pursuing hard. So that's all that I can say for the moment.
Also, Jigar, as Sanjay mentioned, this is just an enabling resolution from the board, like, you know, for an amount not exceeding 300 crores. This does not mean that, you know, we will actually raise 300 crores or anything. It could be in different tranches also. And at the same time, this is moreover taken in advance so that this enabling resolution will help us so that we can smoothly go ahead with the acquisition whenever it happens. Since equity raising is a lengthy and time-consuming process, we just thought we should start the process in ahead so whenever the transaction happens, it happens smoothly.
Yeah, understood. Understood. Thank you so much.
The expansion at Exotech is an important lever, which we've already gone on record, right? So we see very strong traction. We have doubled the sales in 2 years. We've increased EBITDA margins. So they're extremely bullish. They're looking at talking to large global customers. So for that, we need capacity, like we've done at SGS. The same thing we want to build at Exotech so that we can fully utilize the benefits of scale in that company and fully utilize the cross-selling opportunities that we have with customers that we have large relationships with.
Understood. Thank you so much for the answers. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhiral from PhillipCapital PCG. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So if I look at your P&L and particularly the other expense, so as I see, our other expense on a YY basis has risen sharply by almost, you know, 30%. So any one-off line item over there which has impacted our margin?
So Mahendra, can you take that call?
Yeah, thanks for the question. We have a one-off expenses in this quarter in our subsidiary Exotech. There was a rate amendment request from the customer, which belongs to the transaction we have agreed before the acquisition. The details are yet to evaluated, but on a conservative side, we have accounted for, and that is accounted for into our provision for doubtful debt. So that was one item that impacting around $6 million. Apart from that, all expenses are in normal line, and the percentage-wise, when you see it compared to the last year, it is in line with. In the last year, we had a one-off income in our revenue, $37 million, which I talked about in my commentary. If you see in an adjusted manner, you will find that the cost has gone down.
But overall, just to add one more point, so Exotech, we've actually expanded EBITDA margin. So I think that is the way to look at it. We've grown sales, we've doubled sales, as I said earlier, in 2 years. Outlook is very bright. We've also expanded margins. So we are on the right track in Exotech, and this is what will drive growth moving forward. Growth and profitability.
So this is a one-time expense, sir, or?
So then we are still evaluating, but however, for the nine-month period, we have already factored. So while we giving the EBITDA of 14%, that is already been factored there. But yes, it is under evaluation.
Yeah, so despite factoring in that thing also, at 9 months, we still stand at 14%.
Okay. And so when we are looking to increase our content per vehicle by almost 1.5 times to 3 to 4 times across our, you know, product category, so by when, sir, we are, you know, looking to achieve that number in coming years?
So I'll request Joe to answer that.
Yeah, we are working on different technologies, as we had mentioned during the presentation. So these things will start. The SOPs probably would start by in the second half of FY 2024. That is around, you know, September, October days.
So these are all related to model launches. So we are pitching very hard for these new generation products. Now, as and when, so between award of a business and by the time the customer launch, so that we are controlled by the customer launch timing. So that's what Joe is referring to.
So, sir, by FY 2025, are we able to achieve that, you know, content per vehicle across the category?
there
we would have the products in our portfolio now. Technically, we will then push it to other customers as well. So as you see with any new technology, you know, there's a market leader which launches one product which is appeals to the market, and then others follow suit. This is what we've seen in the case of this huge screen that Mahindra launched with their XUV 700. It was a game changer for the market, and now other customers are wanting the same thing. So similarly, whatever we launch for one customer will get adapted. And that's a matter of in the next couple of years, you see that transition happening very rapidly.
Also, Dhiral, it's very difficult to give exact timeline because it also depends on how fast the OEMs as well as the customers will adopt these new products. We definitely see demand in the West also growing up for this. But at the same time, it depends on how fast in the domestic market also these products come in and how fast the demand picks up for it.
Okay, got your point. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Karan Kokane from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead. So the line for you has been unmuted. We request you to please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Question.
Yes. Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah, hi, sir. So first question is on Exotech. Wanted to understand, so already you've shown like a good improvement in the margins for Exotech. Wanted to understand what can be like sustainable margins, and do you think that because of this capacity expansions, there could be like some, you know, hurdles to margin expansion in the midterm for Exotech?
Okay, so we've guided that standard steady state margins would be about 15-16% at, let's say 14-15% is what our estimate is. Because understand that this business largely is a legacy business that we inherited, and in the last 1 year we've added many new customers. So the margin expansion is a function of the customer and the selling price that I get, so we are opening doors wide. So one reason why we are investing money in this company is that it should be a facility that customers are happy to buy from, and they are compare this in this systems and processes should be truly world class. So that's what we aim to do, as we've done for the case of SAS. So margins would continue. I mean, they would be, as I said, demonstrated increase in margins have happened. And in addition to this, once we get into the export markets, then we should be able to get even more traction and positive upside on the margin front at Exotech. But this expansion in terms of capacity utilization, you asked, so our we are quite confident that our ROC here for whatever expansion we are doing will be upwards of 20. So that is what is our investment thesis in this business.
Understood. And sir, second question is just on, you know, the ownership of the company. So if I look at, you know, the promoter ownership, there's about a 35% stake which is being held by a private equity company, and then the promoter is holding around 15% stake. So just wanted to understand, you know, how should we think about this 35% stake which is being held by the private equity firm? So that's my second question, and then I just have one last question.
Look, so Everstone is a private equity player, and at some point will exit. So that is the nature of all PE funds. But essentially, the business is professionally run. So Joe, who's right next to me, is the promoter. So this is a business that is very close to his heart. He will continue to hold, and he is very passionate about this new product that he's launching. So maybe you'd like to hear it from Joe as a promoter. So Joe.
Yeah, thank you. I think I have repeated this. For me, this is, you know, Jina Eha, Marna Eha kind of, you know, business. So I have started this about 35 years back, and I still continue to play a leading role, and, you know, would like to continue as much as possible. So there's no going back on that part of it at all.
So Joe's family is also committed to the business, so his son has joined the business, so he's not going anywhere. I mean, that's what I
can talk to you, right? Exactly.
Okay, understood. And sir, just one question on exports. So exports, you said that, you know, you're feeling a lot of pressure because of demand weakness in North American and European geographies. So just wanted to check, you know, if our company can also be a play on the China plus one thing, because, you know, we've seen other auto component players saying that, you know, suppliers from China are facing heat and that's why they're gaining market share. So is there any scope for us to gain market share? And if China is a big supplier, could you just name a few Chinese suppliers?
Yeah, so very good point. So absolutely. So all supply chains are aligning post-COVID and this war. So India is a great beneficiary, and SGS, we've jockeyed ourselves into a position that we only have one customer's trust. We have a very proven delivery model. We ship across the world, both on the supply side and the purchasing and delivery. Both supply chains have been tested during COVID, and customers have sent us appreciation letters. So that's a very strong point when I talk to any customer. So supply chains are realigning. We have large inquiries from global customers wanting to ship business out of China. In fact, also ship business out of Europe because of this rising energy costs and inflation in those. So those companies have lost their, we were always more competitive than them, but now the pressure is even more acute. So we need, that's the reason why I'm so very optimistic about exports, and it should pick up. So it's hard to say what time when Mr. Putin will decide to end the war and things come back to normal, but fundamentally it cannot go on, right? So we are already in the worst phase. 1 year we've gone, we've still grown at 20-25% growth despite these external challenges. So what we could do in this tough times is focus inwardly and work on improving our operational efficiencies, work on improving rejections, be very prudent with what we do moving forward. So I think we utilize this challenge very well as an organization, and we are well poised for growth in the mid to long term.
Sir, and could you just, you know, as a follow-up to that?
We request you to please rejoin the queue as we have several participants awaiting their turn.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, we request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Lokesh Manik from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning to the SGS team. Sanjay, sorry, I joined a little late. So if you can just briefly share, on the acquisition of Foxconn as a customer, what are the products that we are supplying to them, the end use of those products, and whether they are for the domestic requirement or for their exports requirement?
It is for a requirement in India. So as you are aware, Foxconn is a global and maybe the largest global assembler of electronic parts. A lot of these displays that are used in both these two-wheelers, especially the electric two-wheelers and the four-wheelers, are all large electronic assemblies. And as I said earlier in my calls to the investor community, there is definitely going to be localization that will happen once it reaches critical mass. And that is exactly what has happened. So we have won this first business, so that's a very important step. We've shook hands, the products are under development, and we will get this. So the product we have is an optical plastic part for the two-wheeler EV. And incidentally, we've also broken ground in the PV industry where you have the center stack display. So we won our first business again in that business. So that is what products you talked about in this presentation. So we are in a good manner. We are getting a lot of customer traction.
And Sanjay, just a follow-up on this. So have you done any research in terms of this product would be the cost competitive in the export market versus their existing suppliers also?
Sorry, could you repeat that a little slowly? I couldn't hear that question.
For the same products in the export market for their export requirements in the global market, would we be cost competitive versus other players?
We are. Again, I would not like to name customers, but as I said earlier, so we've been working on these products for almost 2 to 3 years now. So yes, there is an export market and we are cost competitive. So that also is a big lever. As we talk, we are knocking on doors of all our customers we have long relationship with. So certainly, they will consider us for the export market as well.
Great. That's it from my side, Sanjay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neil Shah from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Tim. Good morning. Firstly, my question is around this equity raise that you're doing. We are a company, we have very good cash, we have almost no debt, and we generate good cash flow. So what is the reasoning behind going this going down this equity route rather than going through a debt route?
So at the moment, we've not decided whether it will be equity or a debt route or a mix of both. So that the board will take an appropriate decision, but rest assured we'll take a very prudent decision, keeping uppermost the interest of our shareholders in mind.
And raising fund through equity is basically a lengthy and time-consuming process and require very regulatory and internal approvals. Hence, we thought to take a enabling regulations to be ready for a point of view for a potential acquisition. But anyway, this enabling resolution and approvals are valid for a period of 1 year. So we have enough time to decide about it. Like Mr. Thapar said, we are not in a hurry, and at an appropriate time, it will be we will come.
Right. And my second question is around this new product. So in the new product categories that we have, so let's say capacity overlays and non-legacy business that we have, what is the percentage revenue that we're doing as of 9 months 23?
For the new products, we have covered in our commentary, we are around 11 to 12%. Our new products are also, we are exporting to the customer, and like we see the exports demands are lower at this moment for many reasons we have discussed. So it has gone down compared to the last year, but yes, we are hopeful that back the exports are come back. We will be back on this trajectory.
And not just exports, the new. Yeah, sorry, just to add to that, not just exports. So fundamentally, these new technology products will find a lot of traction in India, which we have already seen. So all these optical parts that I talk of, so there's this huge demand, and I think sooner than later, you will have this as an essential requirement by OEMs when they launch new models.
Yeah, Sanjay just highlighted in the question before, Sanjay just highlighted that, for Foxconn, for one of the PV customers and many more customers, lens cover especially, and a lot of other new products that we are introducing, we are already bagging orders for that as well. We are winning new orders for that. So in the future, we are very confident that these new generation products are going to grow at a faster pace.
Right. And these products, do you have any target set for them as percentage revenue in medium term?
Sorry, could you repeat your question?
So I was saying, do you have any target in mind as to what level do you want to reach as percentage revenue in medium term?
So my thinking is that we should be at least 25%. So, and in fact, let's say 7 years later, this could be almost 70% of our business. So big growth coming into this area. So 20-25% is what we can realistically assume over the next 3 to 4 years.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Jain from Brescon Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. I wanted to ask first question on export. So in export, can you give me breakup of realization in terms of Latin America, Vietnam, Thailand, and USA and Europe? What is the difference in realization between India, US and Europe and other countries? That is one. Second, what has been historically a percentage of revenue for export in North America, Europe and other countries? Third one I want to know is what time it takes to onboard the OEM in overseas versus India. What is the process there? How much time it takes?
A lot of questions rolled into one. Let me answer one by one. So, first question you asked was, what is the share of different geographies for exports, right? If I understood that question right. So, our exports...
Hello?
No, realization, Devanshi one.
Yeah, in terms of share of exports, we've always mentioned that Europe has been one of our larger markets, and that could be somewhere around 30%. Of our 30-35% of our revenues generally, and this quarter it's been a little lower than that because of the factors that we already mentioned. USA is another market which is somewhere about 8-10% of our revenue. And Asia is another 30-35% of our revenue. Balance are other countries.
Okay. Difference in realization?
Sorry?
No, so we don't guide on realization as per geography. So all export markets, primarily our competitors are companies, different companies. So let's say whatever margins we earn here, export margins are about 5% higher at an average compared to what margins we have in the normal domestic business that we have.
Okay. And time it takes to onboard OEM outside India? What is the process you follow?
The product. So we already have a relationship. So companies like Visteon, we supplied to for many years. There is zero time. It's just they give us a number and we start developing the product. It is proven. So there is no challenge there. For some specific new generation products like these optical plastic parts or the lenses with the special coatings, that could take maybe about 6 to 9 months for them to approve. But these are new technologies. All the legacy products that we have, we don't wait for approval. Specifically for some special export requirement like color matching, etc., they do some tests, which again is 3-4 months testing period.
Okay. And apart from this, I wanted to
sorry,
know from
here. Please use the handset mode. Your audio is not very clear, sir.
Okay, I'll use the handset mode. I wanted to know, is it clear now?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I wanted to know in chrome plating business, what is the growth percentage we are seeing? Are we looking to go into aerospace as well because chrome plating has application there? And can you bifurcate between cross-sale and non-cross-sale revenue?
I didn't hear the last part of your question, but let me respond to what I heard.
Cross-sale and non-cross-sale revenue. Bifurcation between...
Are your question is about cross-sale opportunity?
What is cross-sale? Cross-sale, okay. So, we've increased sales at our chrome plating business by 50% last year. Again, very strong growth. As I said, we are doubling sales in the last 2 years, so that's a testimony to the traction that we have with our existing customers. A lot of that business has come from cross-selling, especially this year. So it has come from cross-selling, it has come from gaining market share and launching new products very quickly. So it's a mix of all. I can't give you a specific percentage, do we have it, but maybe Devanshi could talk to you separately on that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Filoke from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Just a follow-up on the ExoTech margin. Is it correct that the 6 million provision that has been taken for a pricing negotiation, I believe, all of it should be adjusted to the ExoTech EBITDA? Is that the right way to understand it?
Good to take that.
Yeah, so that was right. It was adjusted with the ExoTech contributions. Yeah.
Understood. So just let me give some flavor around that. So before, I mean, the company entered into a contract before we acquired ExoTech. So this is something that has been a request raised by the customer now. So we are examining it. But yes, it is specifically only ExoTech.
Understood. But if I don't adjust for that, then this quarter ExoTech would have made something like 12.4-12.5% EBITDA margin. Do you think that it's just because of that provisioning that if you adjust for that, it comes to 14%? That's how I should understand it, because from a quarterly cadence point of view, we are at 35 crores, but the margins have come down on a quarterly basis on ExoTech specifically.
So you are right. Had this been not been there, the margins would be higher, for sure. And we were examining this point also, and going forward we will improve our margins further. So for sure, ExoTech margins will increase over a period of time.
So the way to look at it is look at the 9 month margin, that will give you a better average. So we are at 14% on a 9 month basis, as ExoTech, just to give you that flavor, and that is after doing this adjustment.
Understood. All right. Thank you so
much. Even for this same Q3, actually, if this adjustment had not been there, we would have been at our 15. margins at Exotech. So that's why, on the 9-month basis, even after factoring in, we are still at 14%.
Right. And this adjustment is for the whole of 9 months. Is it just taken in this quarter, but it also is sort of retrospective in nature? Is that the right understanding for it?
This adjustment was taken in quarter three, and this belongs to the whole year.
Understood. Just one more question. On the export split side, could you please share the number for the split of exports for H1 also, as you have done for 9 months?
Sorry?
Anshi, could you take that?
Yeah, could you just repeat the question?
Sorry, the split of exports and domestic for the half year.
The breakup of exports and domestic, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, for the half year, it would be somewhere around that our exports would have been somewhere around 7-8%, similar to what it was this quarter also for the 9 months. And domestic was somewhere around 90-93%, even for the half year.
And the same half year, FY22, would have been around 13-14%.
Last year exports were somewhere around, half yearly was somewhere around 12%.
Got it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Devanshi Dhruva from SJS Enterprises for the closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this call. If anyone's questions have still remained unanswered, please feel free to contact me, and I will answer it to the best of my ability. Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.